it's like 99% renewable or Tau or one of those content management systems. So security wise, we're not just like paranoid about it as we would be, because it's not PII data or anything like that. We don't allow really PII data on our MySQL servers. Most of it's behind. Most of that's either SQL Server or it's Oracle. So
okay.
I doubt they'll do that. We do have some Postgres also. A lot of our legislative council, most of their stuff is Postgres, a combination of the two. So I just handed out something that I kind of put together this morning. I mean, I guess from database, from like MySQL, what I've done is, first of all, I just Google MySQL security, and you get a good walkthrough on Oracle's website. I know Postgres community has the same thing. And so I went off of some of that to kind of put this together. But you guys have control of the firewall, right? Do you guys have an external firewall or local firewall?
We have a firewall, though.
You have a PA? Yeah.
At least that's what we had last year.
Yeah, PA can do a lot, so.
It will be the same thing this year.
Okay. The nice thing about the PA is it does a lot of the extra stuff that it's hard for a DBA to do, security-wise. Application security vulnerabilities, like SQL injection and stuff like that, it can kind of scan for some of that if you have it turned on. But from a physical, like for MySQL, from a physical perspective, we start obviously locking down the ports on the firewall. Just the default port is 3306. You can change that if you want. So tell me the scenario, you guys. You basically have this working application, and you just showed up because every other sysadmin died in a flood.
Basically.
Well, it's a little more morbid, but they've got a number of systems, not just an application. They've got
it's just
like 10, 12 servers.
You inherited an IT infrastructure.
Yeah.
They don't get to see it until the competition.
No, but it'd be, imagine you were a contractor and there was a disaster. And
you got flown in to come fix it.
Yeah, and you're showing up, and you may not have any documentation because they
suck.
You
have some, right? You do get.
Right?
Okay, so we get about 3 pages, I think, including like this big wordy cover letter.
Okay.
And it kind of sets. It tells you IPs. It tells you what's on them. Tells you what OS.
And it gives you the passwords and junk like that.
Yeah, I mean, every single password you encounter is password 1.
Okay, so obviously. Rule number 101 is change those. Okay, good. All right. So
exploits come later.
Okay.
Last year, our the first day was kind of a gloves on for the red team.
Okay.
So they weren't supposed to hose things completely.
Okay.
They can establish access for later.
Yeah.
But they weren't supposed to
break anything.
Siege. You know, kill everything.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that makes sense. And so basically, you're walking in that, and then you work through a layer of things like changing. Do you guys have a checklist that you work off of? We're going to do this, and then this.
Yeah,
so
we're trying to develop that.
That's
a
good
idea.
We're
trying to develop. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, that's kind of what I put together for MySQL here. And I could, if you guys, I don't know if you've seen the tools. I use. MySQL Workbench, it's free. It's a Java app that goes on your laptop that runs for Windows. I know it also will work for Linux if you have a Mac or whatever. I usually run that. I also run MOBA Xterm for my PuTTY emulator. I like that one because I like to have lots of sessions. There's a free version of that, I believe. I can show you that if you want. Are you guys interested in seeing the tools? I mean, they're pretty straightforward, but...
I think anything's even shown. Anything,
okay,
anything.
So how do I guess we can turn that on now. How do we do that?
So,
kind of connection
of us,
we got?
We've all been through the SQL class, right?
Have you? Okay.
I'm pretty sure everyone has.
Yeah.
What database did you guys use?
Access.
Oh.
Well, we used Access.
They still do that?
Yeah.
I laughed because when I graduated college in 97, and And we were just switching, I was the first class that switched the database class over from COBOL, and we used Access 3.1. And it was like, I get to my first job, which was Oracle, doing on Unix, and I was like, oh, this didn't help me at all. So everything I've learned is on the job. So.
You'll have to bring it up here.
Oh, okay. Down there. Like I said, most of what we do for ours is, most of what we do is content management, so I'll just bring up one of those. Because it's not anything that you guys aren't allowed to see. There's a few other things, but I don't really know. So anyway, let me just... So this is the MySQL workbench.
So actually, take a step back. How did you get there?
Oh, okay. I clicked on my link. So anyway, yeah, you can go search for MySQL workbench. You can get that. There's also, if it was Postgres, there's pgAdmin. So I'm just going to launch. And the CE, which is Community Edition.
So this is something that they could install on any one of the machines in the network?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can install this on any Windows machine. So
it doesn't have to be on the database server?
No,
okay.
No.
Thanks. Just a client to manage it.
Yeah, it's Oracle actually did something good and created a decent client. It's pretty rare for Oracle to do that, by the way. And I've been an Oracle admin for a long time, and I've also done SQL Server admining, and Microsoft's always kicked Oracle's butt when it comes to create nice useful tools. But this is what it is. Let me close this out. You got your schemas, I call them databases, down here. They're usually called databases, but because Oracle bought MySQL, they're choosing to call them schemas, which is what Oracle refers to them in the Oracle system. So just think of these as databases. That's what I do. Get my thing. I like to use that tool. You can... you know, there's lots of things you can look at, server status, you know, if it's a performance issue or something like that. It's pretty rudimentary, but it's pretty decent knowing, you know, I don't know, there's some key buffer things, InnoDB. MySQL is made up of two parts. It's got the query processor. You kind of think of it as the front end engine that you submit queries to, and then you have your database engines, and you can choose per table what database engine you want to use. My ISAM, which is based upon ISAM. Do you ever work with ISAM, Tony? Mm-hmm. Old format for files. I mean, that's
like, why you said the old.
Well, Tony and I are about. I assume you're.
Yeah, we're the same age.
Yeah, ISAM, and I haven't really thought of ISAM either. But there's DBAs that I work with that have been doing it for 40 years, so they know exactly what ISAM is. But my ISAM. InnoDB is what Oracle's pushing because that's fully what's called ACID compliant. That's an acronym, ACID, which means it's... why do I mention that? Because I can't pronounce what it means. But essentially what it means is you can do transactions. They can do recovery and failover recovery. And so if you pull the plug on a database, it can roll itself back to a good, clean state. Most of the time you're going to see stuff that's going to be InnoDB. There's a few other engines, but that's not so much important for security. Let's see here. Users and privileges, that's where you're going to start, right? You're going to log in probably as root. I think I put down in here you want to make sure that change your root password on for the server, obviously. I assumed you did that last time, right? You have someone who's privy to Linux and understand Linux.
Have you got something on SQL Server?
Well, for SQL, that was the other guy.
The other Linux guy?
I want to say Linus, but
okay.
It wasn't Linus. But
Dylan?
Dylan,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, get on your Linux server, change the root password. That's like the first thing to do because you have root, you can do anything. And then you also need to make sure you change the I guess that's the third one down under root. Make sure you change the MySQL root password, because that's separately how it's stored. You don't want that to be blank, basically. That could, if it is, then...
Is that MySQL root user a MySQL root or the Unix root?
It's MySQL root.
Okay.
Kind of the same and not the same. That makes sense. Yeah, it, so... you're basically making sure, but you're just changing the default settings. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I like to... Oh, here we go. Yeah, select star. I like to run a query, so I'll just do that real quick. I like to run a query select. Shouldn't type line. From MySQL dot. See, I don't have root because I'm a DBA, and I have my own account that's privileged. I'm going to run a query from... See, and the thing I didn't like about having access is a database. Language class in college was, I didn't learn SQL at all. So it was all like creating queries were using a little GUI tool.
Right, the Access GUI.
Yeah.
She did a lot of that. It was the first chapter, and after that, everything had to be submitted by Taito.
It was?
Yep.
Good.
That, yeah, I was going to say that is good.
All right, so I should just do host. So anyway, you have two columns that really matter, host and user, and generally, you don't want to, let me see where user, user equal, I should put this in here. We break some standards, I'm going to tell you that you shouldn't break, but did that do it? Oh, I see, I forgot my query. Okay, you don't want to see a for root percent sign, the wild card here. You don't want to allow it from anybody, but localhost. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, those you guys understand localhost and 127.0.0.1. And obviously, that's a bad thing on any database system, allowing sysadmin or whatever you want to call it, root user level from an outside system. In fact, we on our Linux systems, we enforce you to log in as yourself. You can't log in from root remotely, you know, from your laptop. You have to log in as yourself. So anyway, if you were to find one, you would go into user privileges, or you could, and you go find it and you select and you delete it. So anyway, because it's not needed. If it's needed, then I don't know. It's just not a good thing to do. So I said change root password Linux system. Look for any root that has a wildcard. Just basically you want to see those three versions of root. You want to search for any, you also want to search for any other privileged users, essentially someone that would have the same permissions as root. So I'm just going to... When you're in a database, it's not universal, but I know like SQL Server information schema is kind of a pseudo, it's not a real database, it's a like a pseudo database that contains a lot of the metadata. So I can search from, which table is it, user privileges, and I'll just do them all. And this is going to display all the system privileges. And I probably typed something wrong, didn't I? Yeah. I should copy and paste it, got this on my thing. Anyway, you're going to see the root user. You can see all the privileges that he has. Ultimately what you want to do is to identify those. You can see some people in our group. You know, people like PRV, D-Glenn, Tony knows him. Mm-hmm. He's one of our DBAs.
Those are privileged accounts.
Yeah.
They're in elevated access.
Yeah. I ignore the usage. That just means they have permissions to just log in. Here's Amber. She's a sysadmin, Blake. So anyway, any of these accounts that you see here that have these large number of lines of privileges, if you want to, basically what you're looking for is somebody snuck in a highly privileged account
Can you drop one?
Just hiding it, yeah, and then you wanna go back into this users and privileges and either change the password or drop it. So, one of the two things.
But if, because they snuck in with a counter which they know the password.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they know you're gonna change root, they know you're gonna change this, so they just sneak something in, you know, and maybe you'll miss it. I don't know, would they do
that's
that?
That's a good point, actually, the competition.
Sneak a user in?
Well, they had, the environment came with just root password. I think that was probably the only user account. I didn't actually mess with it though. But, and then the guy added his own account.
Oh, okay.
Red team. However, we also had with Windows, everyone was a domain admin, and and then there was a port that was open that had a root shell attached to it on our machines. So,
cool.
Actually, I think on a couple of our machines. So, there's all sorts of bad stuff.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Yeah, well, so basically, they have set up some they've set some things up in advance to see if you catch them, basically, little traps, right? Or tunnels, basically, whatever you want to call them.
There's
bad stuff all over.
You know, I've seen, you know, maybe they'll create an account called root with an extra O. I've seen them. I've seen hidden directories before in Unix. I've seen people put, you know, a hidden directory, you put a period in front of it, and it hides it. I saw somebody create a period directory, period space, and they hit a bunch of, it was on an FTP server, on a very cruddy FTP, or poorly secured FTP server, and they downloaded a bunch of files, like Fast and Furious, Gone in 60 Seconds, or whatever movie that was. And, because we were like, there's this, you know, we had all the space getting used, and we missed it the first several times. Instead, we're like, wait a minute, why are there two period directories? You know, period in Unix is, you know, your current directory, right? So you can do a period space, make dir, single quotes, period space, single quotes. And so it was a way of just hiding some stuff. I would call it a security vulnerability, but it's just a way of...
It's a hidden folder.
Yeah. Anyway, so look for any users you don't recognize. Write them down, change the passwords, whatever. If you know them, that's a good thing. Applications shouldn't need any of this stuff. If it's a website, they shouldn't need all this stuff. Because these are privileges that are granted across every database. So they should be needed. If they are, then, and you'll inherit systems like this, then you have a vendor app or somebody that just doesn't care about security. It's not uncommon, unfortunately. Like I said, consider changing passwords. There comes with a risk on that. Obviously, you might break something. We are not, you notice here, grantee is, like this is Eugene, at percent sign. So generally, you don't want to do percent sign, you want to lock that down to an IP. So in your users, like this one, for example, you know, that's localhost, that's a bad example, but you want to lock down your host to a straight IP. Don't use DNS, because DNS, if you don't trust your DNS, you know, they can find a way to spoof your DNS, but lock it down to an IP or an IP range. I don't know how to do that. Chris was going to tell me, one of our Linux admins who's really good at this, he was going to show me how to lock it down to a range, because that's something that you can do in new versions of MySQL that you used to not be able to do. Let's see here. Okay, yeah, so that was that, locking down, that was, yeah. So get rid of the percent sign and change it to an IP. That's as simple as going in here. I don't know. Is there one I can change? I know it won't break anything up, test user. Yeah, I can do this one. I'll do that one. Yeah, so it would just be going in here and changing it to, you know, whatever. Whatever the IP is, I'm not going to change it. So you can also within here see what permissions they have. Oh, this is a really good option too. if you're the user, if you're the client, it doesn't hurt to go and set some of these values. Max number of connections, you can set that at a database level and say for everybody, your default is 10 connections. Or you can set it at a per user level. We've had to do that before when we had some apps that had some bugs and would chew up all the max connections. So that's not a bad thing to do because we, for example, in our Oracle environment, we limit that to 10 for users. And we limit maybe an application, like a large application, maybe we'll limit that to like 100 or 200, just depends on the application. But in general, you want to keep that small. Concurrent connections too, that's another one you can change. These are the roles, this is some of the roles that you get. These just inherit privileges, and then you have schema privileges, which is to individual databases. Oh, here we go. Yeah, so here's all the permissions that you can have. So if you have a certain role, it'll grant you those, but needless to say, you want to kind of keep them limited. But for your test, I would just make sure you try and find those who have a large number of privileges. Let me see. I got this off of, at the top I put the URL like to the guidelines for like MySQL 8.0 security guidelines. They recommend don't run MySQL Server as the root user. And that's a default thing. But it's possible that they've overridden the default and are running it that way. On that page. Please don't let me see my timesheet. What was that? This is what I was looking after. Yeah, there's actually a look at that, making MySQL secure against hackers. Never run MySQL as a root user. It's extremely dangerous. So to prevent this, you basically have to have it running, the MySQL daemon running as the dash user equal root option. So it's not very often to have that, but it's possible. Yeah, I guess you log into Linux and do a ps-eaf and grep for MySQL daemon. I don't have any sessions open. Oh, see, I have to log in as myself. All right, there it is. And it's not running with that setting that they have, which was... Oh, what was that? Yeah. Dash user equal root, so I'm good to go. And you can also see that it's running right here, MySQL. I mean, it launches as root, but it runs as the user MySQL right there. Do you guys all know Linux, Unix a bit?
Okay. Enough to scrape by.
What's that?
Enough to navigate
okay.
around and do configurations and
such. You learn it a lot faster when you go to fix it.
You know, and it's kind of a cool thing what you guys are doing, because I was talking with Chris Pendergast, if you met him, he's super, super smart. And I was like, man, they should make ITD people do this. Same thing. And to test our knowledge, because I know we'd learn things, because you get in the job and you do some of this stuff, and then you kind of get, work gets busy, and you kind of let things go, and I wonder how we do.
Well, Matt and I talked about jumping on the table last year.
Yeah.
Supposedly there's going to be an opportunity to do that this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to partake or not, though. I want to embarrass myself.
Come on, we're embarrassing ourselves.
there's additional things here that you can follow. I didn't want to put them all down because they're all in this website, but you know, some of the stuff, I don't grant file privilege on admin users. Encrypt binary logs and relay log files. Your binary logs are the changes that are happening to your database. So that's just, if they're turned on, that is. Let's see here. Don't permit use of symlinks to tables. See, a lot of this is default, so we don't have that turned on. Don't trust your DNS. Yeah, like I mentioned, you should use IP addresses rather than host names for those grants that I was talking about. Okay. Number five, this is when Chris mentioned, make sure you require SSL. You know, I wish he was here, if he could have been here, because he could show you how to set that up. That's obviously, that's important in security and networking. Otherwise, passwords and other things could be pushed over the network. We require that on our Oracle and our SQL Server systems too. So I assume that's part of what they'll be doing. They'll probably be sniffing the pack that's on the network, right?
There's probably a couple telnets over there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much sniffing they can do.
Maybe not.
Because they... Yeah, they're going to compromise something. So
yeah.
Maybe they could do... they could probably use one of our own machines to do...
Right. So maybe they can compromise one of ours. Yeah,
oh, okay.
They can compromise one of our machines.
That's probably the way that they would get that. Because they're not... They don't start. They don't have a tap into our network.
They're not supposed to start. They're not supposed to start inside the network.
Oh, really?
They're supposed to work the way
okay.
They have.
Yeah. So obviously, you guys are going to work the outside in, or in some ways, I guess you're going to be. But that's important to get the outside secure and start working your way in. Okay.
So, is there any way to change the port at the data?
Oh, so if you want to go from 3306 to something else?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, it might. The my.conf file.
They use a different port to send information.
Yeah, you can do that. That's pretty common. I think you can do it on the command line. If you recycle MySQL.
I'm not sure.
Oh, where's the conf? Yeah, there's right there. Yeah.
So you can pick your port.
Yeah. If your app is like, let's say you have we have handful of vendor apps that have what we call embedded databases, and that means they just run Postgres or MySQL along with the app. Those, honestly, if this is your situation, turn off networking, you know, altogether on the for MySQL, because it's only going to be taking local host connections. So you could just lock it down so they can't get into it from the outside. Of course, you can't then use your tools either. You're going to be running, you know, you're going to be in here and you're going to be running MySQL commands, you know.
But you could lock that down to an IP address.
Yeah, you could.
Enable only this device.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually run our MySQLs aren't zero trust yet. So they're still running, we still run a local firewall on them. So these are a little bit older boxes. Let me think. I think I put that down there later. You can enable the skip network switch. It's on the bottom of the first page. You can enable a skip network switch on the command line, or set the global variable skip equal networking equal one. And then if that's if you don't want to use any firewalls, or any networking. Make sure your password hashing is strong. And basically, the biggest thing there is previous versions of MySQL, maybe 5.0 and earlier, had poor encryption for passwords. So you want to make sure there's no what they call old password settings. So you can run this query I put down there, select add select session dot old passwords, and add at global old passwords, and you want to see a zero and a zero there. If you do have them, you want to, I didn't put that in here, did I? Oh, right there, that you run that next query to find the users that have that and go in and change their passwords. So, they're just not as well encrypted. I think it's shot, I put 246, I mean, it says 256. The typo there. There's system variable settings you can set. The skip networking I mentioned. Secure auth is one that's recommended. That's also in this within this wiki. Was it here? Yeah, I think so. You can, oh, limit max connections, that's what I was talking about, a user, well, that's for the whole database. But you can also limit the max user connection, so you wanna, that's your global setting or at the users, you wanna keep that smaller. Oh, max connect errors, that's another session variable you can set. That's a tricky one. Will they, they're doing intrusion, they're not trying to do denial of service attacks on you, are they?
Not supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah, DOS are not allowed.
Okay. Because those are really, I mean, those are some of the hardest things to defend against. And max connect errors is one that we got hit once with. Actually, it wasn't a denial of service, but it basically says from this IP, it's actually a good thing to have set. So if you have 10 consecutive connection errors from this IP address or whatever, from a host, what it calls a host, it'll lock that host out. Microsoft, MySQL will lock that host out. The default is 100. I'd set it lower, honestly. And so that'd be even you. If you tried your password 10 times, it's going to lock your computer out from connecting until you run this flush command. That's a really good one. If they're going to try and hammer your passwords, you know, if you change them and then they're going to try and hammer them through a list or something like that, that's one that can keep them, you know, just as soon as it detects that they're done it, then it'll lock them out. What happened to us was this actually locked our whole Apache server out, which hosts all the Drupal pages, and somebody deployed a Drupal site with the wrong password, and it locked our whole Apache server out. And so then all of our websites were down because that, you know, it's a one IP. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. So we had to set this to a higher value and slap the hand of the person that deployed the code. So that was a vendor, I believe. There's the other part of securing MySQL is at the application level. I mean, ultimately the database, what you have is information and that's what they're trying to get, right? And I would encourage you to maybe, well, I guess they want you to assume that you have sensitive information, I suppose, in your database, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I like to follow least privilege access. You know, users generally should have as little privileges as they need. Don't grant them full everything. Don't look for that, I guess. But there's not a lot you can do as a DBA or as an admin at times to prevent that stuff, to prevent things like SQL injection attacks. That's coding, basically, that you know, your web developers got coded better. I was trying to think if there's anything else that, let's see here. But there's additional guidelines that they have. Something we started doing at ITD is following the CIS baselines, and they're really good. They're free at the, I forget what the CIS stands for, the Computer Information Security or whatever, but it's a pretty big document, so I don't know if it's something you guys want to go through or not, but literally it runs scans. The guidelines say what you should do to have a pretty decently secure system. And I'll try and find some stuff.
That's the Center for Internet Security.
That's it, thank you. I work with Robert Hart and Travis at our group to do this. But anyway, it goes through a lot of stuff. Some of it's very nitpicky. You know, looking to see if you got MySQL history in your group. I'm just going to kind of page through it. Are you using MySQL password file, which means you've got something kind of stored? That's a bad thing. Let's see, I'm just going to keep moving down. Back to Zatch, I don't care about that stuff. Not reused and username. So now they get into commands that, for one that has commands. See, the Oracle one's got, oh, here we go, yeah. So it can have commands that you run, show variables for everyone, you can take your make it one. I haven't looked at this one real well. Let's see. Go back up the top. There's the secure auth one, old passwords. Let's go look at that one. It's page 82. What I do for my purposes is I just took a lot of these. I built a script for myself for our Oracle environment that I could run all these and write the output, and then I go through the output and then decide what to do. Alright, so we're looking for, yeah, show variables or variable names, old passwords. Make sure value is not set to one or on. So I don't know if this is something you guys even have time for, but it provides some stuff you can look at. So if you had the time to have these scripts and take these and build them, it would be like you could just rip a script down, run it, and it'd give you your output, and then you could start implementing changes. But and it's not a fail-safe or anything, but it'll get you pretty far. So most of what you guys are getting, is it open source stuff that they're testing you guys on? Or could it be SQL Server, Oracle, or anything like that, you know?
It kind of varies. I mean, they have licensing for everything. So there's Microsoft
could be Postgres.
Server in there. There's Linux in there. There could be MySQL. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's kind of, you don't really know.
Oh, okay.
It's been different every year. I try to do that to keep everybody on their toes.
So then you need to know a little bit of Windows admin?
Yep.
Okay.
Because of all the different boxes. You know, there's an SMTP box.
Yeah.
There's Windows servers, Linux servers. There's a desktop or two, isn't there?
Yeah. And all different flavors. So like for server, there was a 2008 box, and 2012, and 2016, and some of them were core, and some had the GUI.
Oh, some were core, huh?
They get a total of 12 systems, then 12 or 15.
10 laptops, maybe, and then 9 scored services?
We had a firewall, and then ESXi, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Windows servers. Linux, and then we had our own laptops, and then the shit.
Yeah.
Secure heart information transmitter.
That's what they called it. Huh?
Yeah, it was the target for the red team to get to.
Oh, okay.
So that was one of the main things they had to focus on protecting throughout the entire conference.
And okay. We did not even touch it.
It was a little Raspberry Pi with a buzzer on it.
After
we
a
just
while.
Did. Yeah, you didn't have time, right?
Yeah. And then they locked us out. We didn't have an SD card reader, so we couldn't go in and change stuff on it. And after a while, it stopped beeping, and we're like, "Well, okay, that's fine." A patient died, so oh well.
Let me ask your question.
So, my recommendation. I mean, how I would approach it would be. To any database, probably familiarize yourself with some of the bigger ones like MySQL, Postgres, maybe Oracle and SQL Server. Familiarize yourself by knowing the ports. Maybe even have those written down. Know the default ports specifically. Know the what are the different SA accounts. So like SQL Server, what we do is there's the user in the database called SA, and you lock that, or the best practice for that one is, especially if you're using Windows AD authentication, you just lock that user out. But identify him, change his password, make sure there's no local admin users, check that. That's similar to being root in Linux. Make sure they don't have database access because they don't need it. And then when you get into the database, look for those that have, of course, SQL Server sysadmin access or an Oracle, they have DBA access. And I could I can help give you some of those things to look for. I can write them up and send them to Tony, you know, and queries that you can run if that would be helpful. You know, I think if you...
I can post it to our...
Yep.
Probably
so. Yeah, and I can... Just let me know what you guys need, and I can do more and work with some of my people. I think if you take care of some of those things first, that probably will get you, like, a lot of the way. I mean, and then you start, you know, you just got to get your... Because I know, like, the big exploit, like, I think it was the state of Utah IT department had a big breach 5 years ago, and it was, I think theirs was, no one changed the default password on a server sitting out in basically connected to the web, you know. And I mean, just someone didn't do it. And that, I don't know if that was their gateway to get in or if they got there and that's where their data was. But needless to say, it was that simple for them. As an admin, it's that simple to fix, but it was just forgotten. So, you know. And then, you know, the more advanced techniques, in some ways you're almost relying on your PA, you know, and stuff like that. So, the other databases out there, like the NoSQL databases and some of the newer ones, I'm not as much up on those, but I think if you focus on those big four, you'll probably be all right. So, like you said, enforce encrypted connections, enforce... But you don't think they'll be sniffing the network then, right? So it may not be worth. Because then
we
you
don't
have
really
to
know what they're going to do.
Okay.
That's just
the only thing I've heard that they cannot do is denial of service.
Okay.
I mean, if they can get into the network, it'd probably be beneficial. They probably wouldn't think of not doing it because I imagine that there's probably going to be some telnet ports open.
Okay.
And it's something that we might forget, and might just use without thinking about.
Okay.
So would you advise? I know you're not a firewall admin, but
no.
Would you advise them to put the databases, if possible, in their own firewall zone and then only allow...
Yeah.
I'm sure it's an app within the PA you do.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I should have mentioned that. Yeah, you want to firewall your databases off and only allow connections to that port. And then, obviously, you might need the other ports, like SSH, it's port, 22, I believe.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
Some of those obviously because you got to be able to admin them. But you still, well, we have all ours, like, that's a good point. Like, our SQL Server and our Oracle and soon to be these MySQL are in what we call zero trust, meaning I don't trust you at all unless I set that rule up. And so they're zoned off essentially. And in fact, I think they're subnetted off and whatnot. But yeah, we only allow, like, my IP when I connect through a VPN. Actually, I can't even do any of this without connecting to the VPN. So my IP that I get from the VPN, I can do SSH and connections to 1521. That's for Oracle, or 3306 for MySQL. I mean, MySQL. 1433 is what SQL Server is. I forget what RDP is, what port that is.
3389.
What did you say?
3389.
Yeah, that'd be another one, man. If in Windows, I'd go in and real quickly look at the groups and user permissions locally and, like, wham, knock anybody out who's given remote access. And, you know, because only admins should be doing remote access.
Ultimately, first off the bat, knock everyone off, and then as you find out that you need it, probably bring it back. So.
Yeah. You can always ask for forgiveness, right?
Yeah.
And sorry.
Some logging of what you do so that you do, you know, do the knock everyone off and then start bringing back that you
bring
it
back.
No. Oh yeah, that's right. This is not working because I just killed everything for that. So
just take pictures of everything you do.
Yeah.
We have really long passwords. And we have to change a lot. I blame security.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
To be fair, I gotta do it too, so
I learned long ago from a friend of mine that you don't really, you know, have to come up with a brand new password every time, you know. He's like, just change enough of it that randomizes it, you know what I mean? So I try to do that, but not by adding one or two at the end.
That's a little running joke we had. I put a sticky note on my coworker's monitor that says, remember your password is password one. and then I scratched out the one and put two.
I'll just show you a bit of my SQL Server. This is SQL Server Management Studio. That's free also. Here's your databases. This is just an internal database that SDBAs use to collect data and analytics and junk like that. Databases, and then these are your system databases, master, model, MSDB. I don't want to worry too much about what those are. Here's your security. These are all like your main, so SQL Server does security at a server level, and then there's individual security at each database that manages permissions within the database. But you'll wanna run queries that will see who is sysadmin. Let's see, select star. This is an old version. I think that's the query. Nope, I'm wrong. It is. Nope, I'm wrong. Let me just run this thing. Just going to list out who is a sysadmin to the whole box. Newer versions of SQL Server are way better. It used to be, it almost granted everything. So there's your SA user. You want to go in and change him. You could even just lock him out if it's not used. These are just internal service accounts. That user is we use Bang just to designate service users. And then this is the group, AD group, that includes all the DBAs in our team. So you might want to look in there and see who else might have it. So if there's also one called Security Admin. Security Admin isn't as strong as sysadmin, but he basically is, because security admin can set up any security it wants. So it can go and create a user that is sysadmin. So I can give you some of these queries. I mean, you don't want to see, you have sysadmin. The way SQL Server works, Oracle works that way with like sysdba, which is their super user account. It just doesn't check for security. If you have sysadmin, it just bypasses any security checks in everything you do. So it just assumes, I know you can do anything you want. I'm not even going to bother to check your ID. So obviously you wanted that locked down. So you guys are the only ones that want to have sysadmin, basically. So, but there are applications that we have that we have to elevate those privileges once in a while, because the code literally checks, like on an update, am I sysadmin? So then we have some ways that we get around that. We throw tracing on to make sure they aren't doing anything nefarious. We watch what they do, and as soon as they're done, we take it right back off. So, and sometimes we even push them onto their own database. And then obviously the other thing with this is locking down all your windows. And you guys are pretty familiar with that, must be going in local users and local groups and removing people that don't belong there. The SQL Server guy doesn't even need that. The one that runs the SQL Server service doesn't need to be Windows admin. It used to be, but it doesn't need it anymore. So, let me see. Oracle, the DBA account, the DBA role. I could send you those queries. You want to look for those who have those privileges in sysdba and how to lock those. Most Oracles run on Linux or Unix, but there's some Windows. It sucks that when it's on Windows, because it's a pain. But you can, and all those, you can change accounts. Oracle's a little bit more complex because it's got all these, this concept of a listener. I can't show you here in SQL. I can't show you how to. You have to be on the server to actually change the port. Let's see, is there any settings here? Yeah, let's see what we got here. You could switch it straight if you have an environment where you don't need SQL Server authentication, but just Windows AD authentication, you can switch it. We have too many vendor apps that require a SQL user, so we're not able to do that. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, within your users, that's a good point too. You can change, these are some old users. You can change, you can enforce password policies, and they inherit those from Active Directory group policy. So you can lock them, deny this way. So it's, you're right, it's basically all the same, just different ways of doing it. So.
Different database paths, different users.
Yep. Yeah, I can put a list together if you want to send it to Tony. Maybe I've had Chris add to it. Another one might be another guy I worked with, his name is Jason Koppel. He's pretty sharp on this stuff too. I think it'd be good to try and get Postgres included, because if they did MySQL last time, I wouldn't be surprised if they. If they don't do MySQL this time, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do Postgres, because that's widely adopted and it's free. So we don't do very much of that. I don't know if I have that Postgres. Yeah, it's the elephant. I also use this tool called NaviCap. I like to use that, but it's not free, so I'm not going to show it to you guys. That's right. Postgres launches it. This is dumb. It's now a web app. Anyway, I don't really have anything I can connect to show you guys. I'm not sure I'm allowed to, because we don't have a lot on. But you can do all the same things. I can show you some of that, but this, and I'll put the tool down too that you can download. PgAdmin's free also. I can include the link to it. So basically, you guys want to come as prepared as you can be, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can bring all the paper we want.
Yeah. We just can't bring any.
Nothing digital.
Oh. Okay.
So. There was a.
So you'd have to go out and start downloading these tools from wherever.
Yeah.
And only if it's a public. It has to be a free. Publicly accessible tool.
The website that we get it from has to be on their whitelist.
Yep.
Oh.
So they have a whitelist of sites that have free software, or Microsoft update.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
So some, yeah, what I send you may or may not be.
We can request.
They'll look into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. They got white team and they have control of the firewall and stuff. So we can ask them. Hey, can you unblock this website so that we can get these tools? They are free. You can trust us.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll check it.
Yeah, so like I like to use MobX term because it's just an easy tool to consolidate all your different... it's essentially just PuTTY in the background. But you guys probably will be restricted to PuTTY, I bet. But maybe not. I don't know. So, I guess I can give you the sites, and they can always, you know, I know all the tools I've used are available free now. So they didn't used to be, but used to be you have to have a license, but now you can have SQL Server Management Studio, you can have PgAdmin, that's free, SQL Workbench, Oracle Developers the same way. That would be a tool you can use to connect to Oracle. So, all right. It's a lot of information. Is there any other questions, or if you guys want me to take anything back and research? And think of anything else?
I don't know. I know I got the recording and that's going to be...
Talk to Tony. Tony can, if you have any questions, Tony can relay them to us, so.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thank you very much for volunteering your time.
Oh, that's fine.
Thank you for all the resources.
Shedding some light a little bit on it.
No, none of my other coworkers wouldn't do it. I'm like, I'm actually a Boy Scout leader, so I'm kind of used to talking to people. So.
Well, I went to you.
Oh, you did, huh? I had Tony's involved in it, too.
I talked to Matt. She wasn't sure.
Oh, she was, like, scared to death. It's like, I'll do it.
I just want to make a couple quick announcements here. First of all, have we been attending our obligatory meetings for student club?
Awesome. I missed the last one because they switched advisors and I didn't have her email. So,
what meetings?
We got meetings we're supposed to attend as well for the school.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, I'm supposed to be the president or the vice president.
So oh, okay.
Each club is supposed to meet with the school board.
President.
Or,
I gotcha.
We have to have one person at each.
Somebody's supposed to represent the club.
She sent us a...
Okay.
Did we get an angry letter?
Well, she sent me... I talked to her and apologized about that. So she mentioned there's a carnival on April 24th.
That's right.
And
okay. Anyways, let's make sure we get to those. Weren't again.
Oh yeah.
They haven't said anything to me. I just want to make sure that we're there.
Yeah.
What I do want to talk about, though, is so our group that we have now is six students, obviously, that are sitting here. We're going to be an exhibition group. Kind of sounds like no matter what. Kevin Fishbeck emailed me today. No UMary students could make it today. Emailed him back and said, well, is anybody interested? He said, well, I think I can get two. Mm-hmm. So that would be our eight.
Yeah, maybe eight. Six for sure.
Eight okay. That we need. I guess that's enough to go down. We can go down with just these six, too.
Yeah.
We'd like to have eight because it's going to be a lot of work. But we're going anyways. I got hotel rooms booked. We're signed up for the competition. We're all good to go as far as that's concerned. Okay, so don't worry about that. We'll get there. I don't know if it's going to be with six or eight or BSC UMary or... grab two freshmen the day we're leaving or what?
Yeah, we can
I guess we'll see.
Mountain take them with us.
Well, I had two freshmen that wanted to do it.
We need a gopher.
Evan Butland and Keenan both said they wanted to do it, so.
I keep saying that, but they never actually show up.
I know.
It's weird.
The other thing I want to mention is there is another competition that is happening in Fargo the weekend after, or the week after, I think that would be. And, it would be the week after. So, tentatively mark this on your calendar as well. So this is a red team versus blue team competition.
Ooh.
And you get to be the red team and the blue team.
Oh, so we're both attacking and defending?
That's what it sounds like. So we can have up to 10 people with this one. One coach, and it says teams will participate twice in each heat of the competition, once as a blue team defending team and once as a red team attacking team. Each team will pick no more than six members for each round's red and blue team. A team will not be asked to participate as both a red and blue team concurrently. Teams will be scored on uptime and system exploitation. Scenarios will vary from round to round. So, as far as I understand it, you have a team of 10, and then based on that round, you pick six people to go for that round. And the next round comes along, and you pick six people, again, out of your team of 10.
Yeah,
it might just be a six. So
it doesn't have to alternate, but it's like, I think it's...
You can either choose red team or blue?
No, it seems like you're going to get assigned, like, you're a red team, here's a scenario.
And you choose...
Two out of your group is best fitted for this scenario.
Yeah, that type of deal. That's what I gathered from it. This is the first I've heard about it was this week, actually 2 days ago. So I'll post this link up on Discord, just something to keep in mind. If you guys are interested in going to it, I say we get a team together. I know it's 2 weeks in a row back to back, so if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work. But I just want to make you guys aware of that. Again, I'll post that up in Discord.
No Mac security included.
Yeah,
no.
So let's keep the ball rolling here. Let's think about a time we want to meet again, and let's make it soon, probably within the next couple of weeks. Decide what type of topic we want to talk about. Which leads me to my next and last thing was, did you guys get the email I sent out with the Palo Alto course?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
I
got all the links to sign in and do that stuff.
Okay, just so I want to make sure you guys have access to that. What's up?
So, we've got rose sales during commencement. Is our club interested in doing that?
Rose sales?
Rose sales during commencement.
During commencement?
Yes. I'm thinking we kind of aren't. Since.
We're kind of in commencement?
Kind of, yeah, sort of. Well, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
I told him I wasn't coming, so.
I would say that you guys would need to bow out of that unless we had freshmen, because if you're there at commencement, they're going to want you to be in your cap and gown,
yeah.
Going through the line, not selling
not
roses.
Selling flowers.
Yeah. So I don't think that would be a very good look for our club.
So
we don't have any freshmen. We don't feel that's a good idea.
And I'm guessing we're probably not very interested in a table for the carnival on April 24th. Is it?
What's the
carnival?
Hey, you gotta stop repeating everything that's said.
Carnival?
Yeah. Roses?
Carnival?
Commencement?
We have a small activity or game for our table.
Hey, kids, come fish your parents.
Send this link to your parents, and we will not use their Facebook credentials
let's,
in any
let's think about
ways.
That. That might not be a bad... We got to participate in something at some point. That might be a quick, easy thing for us to participate in.
Okay,
everyone gets a table. Actually, last year, my capstone class helped out. We did a photo booth. We helped another club do a photo booth. But we could do something... I got a fishing simulator. Not like fishing, but a fishing simulator and some different things maybe we could do there. So let's...
Well, you had that last year, you had us go through that thing that was put on by the NSA or something like that.
Oh, the Deus Cyber?
Yeah, something like that.
We
can set up some laptops. Heck, we could take some of those machines over there and take these good monitors out of these classrooms, put them over there and... run a bunch of Day of Cyber stuff. That wouldn't be bad at all.
I would say no to the rose thing. Say yes for the carnival.
Pretty strong tentative for the
carnival. Yeah, pretty strong tentative.
Okay. All right. And Mr. President,
yeah.
do you concur that we should conclude this meeting?
Next meeting date.
Next meeting date. What should we plan on next week or 2 weeks from now? Same time, same place?
Same time, same place. Just gotta find a subject.
Yeah,
we need a subject.
Okay, we'll talk about that on Discord.
Thursday night.
And then wait 3 weeks and go, well, crap. Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
I'll throw this recording up on my website. I put in Discord, but I'll say it here. I added some documents. There's a bunch of those. He mentioned the benchmarks.
Yep.
For MySQL. Well, there's Debian, CentOS, Ubuntu. I threw a bunch of those up. So if anybody wants, I could download all of them and put them all up on the website. I don't care. It's on a hard drive. It's not in flash memory, so. Yeah. So, yeah, there's some PDFs up there. Check them out.
I think that's it.
Meeting adjourned. Friday.
Next Friday.
Next Friday.
Next Friday you can go?
We can find a subject.
We're going to try to find a subject, so.
All right.